The Monty Show, Monday, August 6, 2018. We haven't even been doing this show for 13 seconds yet, and you are literally glaring at me for no reason via the internet.
No reason, really?
No reason whatsoever.
Right. Sure.
In other words, we're going to talk about the Cubs in a minute. The Yankees don't miss Aaron Judge at all. Succession was last night. People are rinsing out and reusing condoms, which is just mind-numbing. Wow.
Yeah.
Nobody on earth procreates like Americans. We'll talk about that coming up. Donald Trump says LeBron James is stupid. And so LeBron's going to release a docuseries called Shut Up and Dribble, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Showtime. Speaking of which, Succession was last night. It's amazing. Follow the show on Twitter. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on Twitter. By the way, maybe this is a brag. It's a humble brag, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know what I'm going to say. Where are you agreeing with me? No. We had a record-breaking weekend of downloads for the podcast of people listening to the show. Really appreciate that you take time every day to listen to this show, which is awesome. You are awesome. Without you, I don't know why we'd be doing this show. So thank you is what I'm trying to say. No matter where you listen to us, whether that's iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to the show, we appreciate you every single day. What's the biggest story? It's weird. We're in training camp in the National Football League, and there's not a huge NFL story. I feel like largely the Hall of Fame enshrinement this weekend was, the T.O. story, Ray Lewis, you know, being holier than thou as a guy who probably murdered people and got away with it. I'm not even sure where the knife is that happened. It's probably with the bloody sock or glove that OJ and Rockingham and stuff. But anyway, the point is Ray Lewis gets the biggest free pass in the history of sports. Yet Terrell Owens, and I'm not saying Terrell Owens was right.
T-Rail
Owens, who, by the way, tried out with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders of the Canadian Football League.
That's my quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know why. Look, the voice just happens. Anyway, the point is...
Thank you.
Terrell Owens, who tried out for Saskatchewan the day after he blew off the Hall of Fame, which is amazing. You're done. What was I saying? Terrell Owens, I don't even hate that he blew off the Hall of Fame. It was a dick move. I probably wouldn't have done it. It's one of the great achievements in somebody's career. You should show up. Terrell Owens says he blew off the Hall of Fame because he doesn't want those coming after him to have to deal with the disrespect of sports writers. And he wants the sports writers to know that they are not in charge of the sport. Well, you weren't in Canton this weekend. You were in Chattanooga. No offense, Chattanooga. But you were not in Ohio. You know what I'm saying? You weren't in Canton. And you gave a ridiculous speech that people laughed at you for. Yet you get a guy like Ray Lewis who I don't know how in this world where we're prosecuting guys for all kinds of crimes and we are holding guys accountable for what they said on Twitter when they were 5 years old. And you have all this domestic violence. Aaron Hernandez is in prison for the rest of his life, kills himself after he turns out to be a gang member who assassinates people because he enjoys it. Ray Lewis is the original guy at this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gets into a bloody altercation. I'm not saying he killed anybody. I'm not saying he didn't. But nobody talks about that anymore. And he's just the great guy that pulls people out. And he said that in his speech, while I was playing in Baltimore, crime levels were historically low. Okay, Donald Trump, really? You're like this guy. How is he getting a free pass?
Well, I mean, time heals all.
Apparently,
I mean, there's hundreds of examples of this, and I think the longer things are allowed to rest, and the longer he's been a nobody because he's been out of the game, right? Like, so his name hasn't come up. I mean, he does TV stuff, but like it's not as though he's on the front page or anything. I mean, he's been flying under the radar, and so I think what he allegedly allegedly didn't do. Just gets forgotten.
I guess so. I just wish there was accountability. And look at me, I'm criticizing a guy for getting on his pulpit at the Hall of Fame, and now I'm about to get on mine. I think we forgive guys because they're good at hitting a baseball or tackling people or throwing a football. We forgive guys, and I don't understand it. Your athletic achievement, Urban Meyer or Jim Jordan or whatever's going on at Ohio State and Michigan State and Baylor, like, I don't care if you win football games, Urban Meyer. You allowed a guy on your coaching staff to beat his wife, and you knew it was going on, and you didn't fire him. And then you said, well, I fired him as soon as I found out. You knew in 2009. You certainly knew in 2015. And you're saying that you should be absolved and keep your job because you fired this guy as soon as it came. Well, you didn't, though. What you did is you lied to us.
Mm-hmm.
And you still kept your job, and you're making $20,000 a day. Urban Meyer makes $20,000 a day coaching Ohio State football. Yet he allowed an atmosphere of existence for a guy that was a habitual, repeated, and I would say by habit, abuser of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Choked her, strangled her by her own words to him twice in Punta Cana and at their home.
Yeah.
He admitted he did it on text message, and you didn't fire him. Like, I'm amazed by it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no accountability. There's no what should I do here because it's the right thing to do. Like, there's none of that in sports. I don't see any examples of that and across all four core sports. There's no, like, I would challenge somebody to find me a great example of this.
And my, you know, I guess to finish up on Ray Lewis real quick, my point is, if Ray Lewis, he goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, murder, not murder, he winds up getting, you know, caught up in obstruction of justice charges.
Yeah.
The following year, he plays and wins the Super Bowl and is the defensive MVP. And all of a sudden, none of that happened. It blows my mind that we're allowed.
The narrative changes. The narrative changes.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Ray Lewis, in all seriousness, Ray Lewis didn't murder anybody. It's that he protected a friend of his, is essentially what it comes down to, which is why he wound up with obstruction of justice charges. But it just bothers me that we give this guy a pass. He was involved in a murder that was never solved. And we just forget about that because he wound up winning an MVP and a Super Bowl. So we're good with it. We're fine with it. We're, you know... And I hate it. And then this Donald Trump, LeBron James thing.
Yeah.
And if you didn't see it, I don't know what rock fell on your face, but Donald Trump essentially said Don Lemon is just a slightly bit dumber than LeBron James, but Don's the dumbest person in the world, and LeBron's almost as dumb from dumb Donald Trump.
Okay.
The dumbs get confusing, but anyway, the point is Donald Trump going on Twitter and attacking Don Lemon and LeBron James because they happen to mention his name. I mean, number one, you're the president of the United States. Do you not have thicker skin? I know you have terrible hair, but just because you have bad hair doesn't mean you got to have bad skin, which he does. So I guess he has both. But the point is, can this guy not have thicker skin?
I mean, there's just no class. That's my biggest thing. Like, you have zero class, bro, like on any level. Like, you don't put yourself above things. You don't, like, is he... He's the first president to use Twitter like this, right? Like, I can't, like, I know it's a dumb question, but I don't think there's ever been a president who's actively used Twitter during his time. And so this is where you get in trouble because you call the highest profile athlete in the world.
But
dumb.
Okay. This is what's interesting to me. And this all happened on the same weekend. I don't mean to go back to the Ray Lewis thing, but I think Ray Lewis, is it right to say that there's a big misconception about Ray Lewis? Because I think there is. And I think now there's this big misconception in the Republican Party that, what, LeBron is doing damage to Americans? The guy just opened up a school. The guy spent his own money I think it's over 1,000 kids are going to get college paid for. They're all getting bicycles. Their parents get a bunch of food from the food bank that's at the school. He does an interview on CNN about this, and Donald Trump calls him dumb. After he did what I would guess is one of the single greatest acts of philanthropy from an athlete that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. And this Ray Lewis thing, what's interesting to me is that Ray Lewis is this hero and he knows the inner city. Ray Lewis is a guy that, in the middle of his trial, went from the defense side of the aisle to the prosecution side of the aisle, flipped on his friends, took a plea deal so he didn't have to go to jail. And he's, it just, does nobody ever read anything? Does anybody, is there a Trump supporter who believes that LeBron James is damaging Americans? Is there a Trump supporter who took the time to understand what LeBron James did at this school?
No. Nope.
I'm curious how many Trump supporters actually understand what LeBron has done.
I would be shocked if any of them do, because I don't think anybody understands truly what that effect has. Like, what he's doing for Akron is just...
amazing.
Yeah.
Never mind he plays for the Lakers now, which we've talked about extensively.
Yeah, well, and this just shows where his loyalty is.
He plays and lives in L.A., and yet he's doing this massive act of charity in Akron, Ohio, his hometown. It's a, nobody wants to talk about that. He's just this dumb black guy who Donald Trump hates.
I don't think nobody wants to talk about it. I think Donald Trump is obsessively going against anything good out of the African-American community.
But isn't that the machine, though? Because what happens? Donald Trump insults Don Lemon. So his shill, his personal valet, Sean Hannity, now is going to rip LeBron James and Don Lemon and CNN, and he's just going to parrot everything that Donald Trump says. And they all watch Fox News. They all watch Sean Hannity. They listen to Sean Hannity, and it becomes this thing where LeBron James doesn't do anything for his community. He's not intelligent. He's just another rich black guy because he can put a ball through a hoop. And that's my biggest problem with this. What's the win for America when Donald Trump does something like this?
Well, eventually it gets to a point where LeBron leads a group of people that change the game. I mean, that's what happens. If you're going to go after LeBron, it's going to get to a point. He's going to produce content. He's going to go out of his way to win.
Yeah.
And listen, I think he will continue to do that.
Listen, all I'm saying is LeBron, I think, did one of the greatest things that any athlete has done. And it goes back to Trump again tweeting about the NFL. Just because you kneel down during the national anthem doesn't mean you hate our troops and you're against our troops and you're disrespecting troops who have died for our flag. That's not what that means.
Yeah.
But he's using these powerful athletes for his own benefit. And I don't know.
Which is pretty much what LeBron said.
But what is, how do you deal with that? Because it's not how do you defend yourself from that. Because if you get into a war of words with Donald Trump, you're going to lose. He has the ultimate, I guess the right word is pulpit. I mean, his audience is just massive. But this goes back to what we said 2 months ago. Is LeBron James, is he more influential than Donald Trump?
Yeah. I think he is. I think you're Donald Trump is asking for the wrong fight here. You Kaepernick is one thing. LeBron James is a completely different thing. You don't go after a guy like LeBron. The difference between LeBron and Kaepernick is LeBron is actively helping the world. Kaepernick is just trying to be known. You know, LeBron's actually going out and doing things. LeBron is, like, you call him stupid. He's built a school. He's got a production company.
Yeah.
He's influencing, too, like, one of the, if not the biggest market in the country in Los Angeles. That you can't, you're not going to win long-term fighting LeBron James. It's not going to happen. Like, I just don't believe it. And you say his base is massive. That might be true. But at the end of the day, if a guy is going to continue to look like a fool and going to continue to just go against the grain, like, you can only say and be negative for so long and keep your merit to your word.
I guess so. I just wish that, I don't know what I wish, because this is the problem with Donald Trump. Everybody says, oh, impeach him and the world is saved, and impeaching the president doesn't fix things.
You have to put somebody else in the White House. I mean, and not by impeachment. You have to vote somebody else in.
It doesn't.
That's what changes it.
Donald Trump failing is bad for Americans. Donald Trump failing is bad for America. Donald Trump not being president anymore, we could have real discussions about the benefits of that, because I think there are significant benefits of that. But impeaching him doesn't fix that. because Mike Pence becomes president. And I'm not jumping up and down to see, you know, Mr. Grayscale is be president. You know, the Cro-Magnon looking dude in the White House who hates women and, like, please. Why do you bring politics up on this show?
Yeah,
why do you
I
do that? This is your fault. No, I'm kidding. Impeaching him doesn't help. That's the problem. You have to register to vote, and you have to vote him out of office. And I just don't know that Americans are willing to get off the couch and do that. I hope they are, and I hope LeBron James, and if you saw what happened on Twitter this weekend when, I mean, everybody was supporting LeBron James. Michael Jordan tweeted about LeBron James.
LeBron would easily win the presidency if he ran. I'm serious. I think he would.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think he would.
I don't know about that.
I think he would.
Well, if he ran against Donald Trump, I think there's a real good chance. I mean, and by the way, this also, let me just say again that Donald Trump didn't win the popular vote. Speaking of misconceptions, Donald Trump didn't win the popular vote. So I don't have any doubt that somebody could run against him. It's not Joe Biden. And why are we talking politics again? It's not Joe Biden who's going to run against Donald Trump and all of a sudden he's going to win the election. You're probably right. If LeBron James won, he probably gets more votes than Donald Trump. I could see that happening. I'm not saying for sure that happens, but I think LeBron James over the weekend had more support on his side than Donald Trump did on his side. And if you watch the protests around the country where people were actually carrying LeBron signs, and it's just a sad indication of where we are. And then all of a sudden you turn on the news this morning and LeBron James is working with Showtime producing a documentary series called Shut Up and Dribble, because Laura Ingraham, Fox News' own Laura Ingraham, told LeBron James to shut up and dribble when he got into Donald Trump on YouTube at the NBA All-Star Game. And now he's taken that opportunity, and this, I think, speaks to the people around LeBron and LeBron James for their business acumen. He's taken that opportunity, shut up and dribble, and turned it into a money-making thing for him, a living money-making being.
Yeah.
Is what that docu-series will be. But I don't know that it does any good. And that's, I guess that's where I want to end this. I just don't see the upside here. Because LeBron, what is LeBron going to do? Get into a war of words with Donald Trump?
No, I think he's going to inspire people. He's not going to fight Trump. He's going to inspire people.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Because it's not about Donald Trump. That's the thing. This isn't about Trump. Like, at the end of the day, changing the culture is not about Trump. It's about getting people off the couch. It's about, you know, igniting the younger folks.
If you want to be a community activist, if you want to kneel down during the national anthem, register people to vote. If you want to, you know, do these docuseries about Shut Up and Dribble, register people to vote. You know what you do? You say, hey, I'm LeBron James. I'll meet you on the front steps of Staples Center. But hey, if you want to come inside and hang out with me, and I will sign every autograph of everybody who shows up, you have to be registered to vote. And you're not registered to vote? Okay, we have a process here at where I'm at, whether that's Akron, Staples, wherever he would be. You can register to vote right here, and I will sign an autograph for you, anything you want, no cost. But you have to be registered to vote or willing to register to vote. That's what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm telling you, the black vote, the minority vote, certainly the Hispanic vote, not even in the midterms coming up in November. I'm telling you, 2020 is going to be, you better vote. If you don't vote, I said this to my brother who I wanted to punch in the face when he told me he didn't vote. If you want to complain about our country, whether you want to say that Donald Trump is, what people are saying, he's a great Christian man. He has values of Jesus Christ in his heart. Sure he does. Jesus puts kids in jail. I get it. That's where Donald got his inspiration from. Anyway, I'll stop. Point is, if you want to complain about Donald Trump or support Donald Trump, you better get your ass to the voting booth. You better go register to vote and then go vote. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who had a better weekend? LeBron James or the Cubs? Should we talk about the Cubs now?
No, I mean, let's just continue the theme. It's Monday.
All right, let's skip the Cubs and go to the Yankees.
Okay.
Okay, well, if we're going to talk about the Yankees, let's phrase it this way. Holy cow, the Red Sox are really good. Greg Bird, dead or alive?
He's lost a wing at this point.
Okay, so the Red Sox dominated the Yankees over the weekend. And I know we've disagreed about this, but
Red Sox pitching dominated the Yankees hitting. There's no, you know, there's nothing going, you can't go around it. I think it was a combination of an awful approach by the Yankees, and I think the Red Sox pitching executed. I thought Eovaldi, great outing out of him. I mean, I think there was not...
Oh, come on, didn't he have like 13 pitches thrown in the seventh inning? Like the whole game,
he
threw 13 pitches.
I want to say there were three innings where he got out under 10 pitches. And that's why I say...
He had a six-pitch inning.
That's why I say like the Porcello thing, like that's great. He threw a complete game, one hitter or whatever it was.
Which
on,
he did.
On 86 pitches, I think it was. Like, I'm sorry.
How do you throw a complete game on 86
that's
pitches?
What I mean.
It's 2018.
That's what I mean. So I'm sorry that I don't feel like the Red Sox are this just over the top like best team in baseball easily. I don't think it's easily. I do think they're a really good team, and I do think there's a strong case that they're the best team.
They're 9.5 games ahead of the Yankees in the East.
Yeah, they just came out of a series where they beat them up. I get
That's not an accident. They didn't beat them up. They destroyed them.
Okay, well, however you want to phrase
it. But I think it matters. 15-7 to open that series was a debacle. 15-7. Severino was terrible again. Where do you go? And by the way, at some point, we got to talk about Aaron Boone. Because I'm watching the game on TV, and I know it's time to make a pitching change. What the hell is he doing? Like
pitching
I get
change
the,
for what in the Chapman situation or what?
In it, well, I think the CC Sabathia letting him go an extra hitter. If you're Aaron Boone, if you're the manager of the Yankees, and you start to see that Severino is struggling, who by the way they need to skip Severino. Just skip him one turn through and let this guy breathe for a second. He was so good, and he has just been terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible. If you're a manager, you have to look at that guy and say to yourself, yeah, you know, I'm probably, let's give this guy a bit of a rest. CC Sabathia is, you know, he's not young anymore. He's like 74 years old. He's, you know, he gets through three innings, but he takes 77 pitches to get through three innings. Yeah, maybe we want to skip him. Maybe we want to start a rotational thing where, well, this time through it's Severino, next time through it's Sabathia. You got to find a way to better manage your pitching staff. And when a guy's got 77 pitches through three innings, you can't tell me that before you took him out, that you didn't know there was a problem. And then you put in a guy in, who was it, Holder, I think, got lit up. Like, you can't put that guy into that situation. Aaron Boone is not probably ready as a manager to realize, hey, maybe this is the right way to do this. Like, look at Mike Scioscia. Whether he is or not, let's be honest. Ken Rosenthal is not tweeting out that Mike Scioscia is going to step down at the end of the season if he's not. Mike Scioscia can tell you right now, looking at all of his pitchers, as much as they suck, because I don't think he has one, but he can tell you right now, yeah, something's wrong with, you know, Shoemaker when he was healthy. Mm-hmm. He can look at his pitchers and say, okay, X, Y, and Z, I know I need to give this guy a rest. Or, you know,
a catcher.
Well, sure, but he's a seasoned manager. Mike Scioscia, for everything that he hasn't won, you don't last that long in a job without two things, probably an owner who doesn't know much about baseball and you having a pretty good acumen about baseball. Mike Scioscia is a good baseball man.
Yeah.
And whoever hires him after he leaves the Angels is going to get a pretty good manager. The Washington Nationals ought to call the guy.
Yeah.
Just saying. Aaron Boone's not at a point where he can look at a pitcher and CC Sabathia. And I don't know, maybe Sabathia doesn't respect him, but if you got 60 pitches going in 2 1/3 innings, there's a problem.
Yeah.
And Holder's not the right guy to stick in there. You lost 15-7 in what was a really important series opener. And I don't think they ever recovered from that. And then last night, I don't even know what you say about this. Aroldis Chapman hadn't pitched in 8 days.
That's a mistake.
Eight.
That's a mistake.
Days. That's more than a week.
And then you asked him to come into a Red Sox
By
game.
The way, there's 7 days in a week. He hadn't pitched in eight. That's
right.
One more than a week.
Right.
Anyway, the point is, then you ask him to step into the fire and save you, because being swept by the Red Sox really at that point was a death knell to your season. You were playing for the wild card at that point, right? He was terrible. He was relying, Aroldis Chapman was relying on his slider to be his out pitch. Because I think they were just sitting on his fastball. And it's 8 days. There's no fixing that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have pitched him. I'm just saying find it.
Well, it's not about last night. It's about the nights before that.
Like, it's 2 days ago and 3 days ago.
What should have happened is you should have pitched him before the Sox series. That's what you should have done.
Yeah.
And he's fully disposable for the Red Sox series.
Or why not, because he hasn't pitched in 8 days, pitch him in the eighth, pitch Betances in the ninth, who, by the way, has been rock solid.
You're not pitching Chapman in the eighth.
Well,
that's not how it works.
I'm not pitching him in a safe situation when I'm trying not to get swept at Fenway. I'm not doing that.
Well,
and then, by the way, not for nothing, he actually did do his job. He got a ground ball to win the game, and Andujar couldn't throw it over to first, and Greg Bird, he needs to fall in front of a subway train because he's useless. Like, he can't hit. I'm a talk show host. I'm not a general manager. Why didn't you trade for Moustakas? How does Moustakas go to Milwaukee and not New York?
Because Moustakas in my opinion, a viable first baseman.
He's a Gold Glove third baseman who played a couple of weeks at first base and actually looked pretty good doing it.
So now third baseman can play a couple of weeks at first base and be good for the Yankees.
Well, they're not difficult transitions to make. Chris Bryant plays first base for the Cubs. I mean, they're not difficult transitions to make when Chris Bryant has a shoulder that works, by the way. He has played first base for them.
I just don't think that's realistic. I think when you look at where the Yankees are at, I think they're committed to Greg Bird.
Maybe that's why they're not winning.
You know, they're committed. You're never pitching Aroldis Chapman in any other inning except the ninth inning. That's his role.
And I think that's where people get in trouble. And you're a pitcher. I guess I should defer to you on this, but it's a mental thing. But I think we put ourselves in these boxes, and when we don't, as people, no matter what your career is, when you don't try to innovate or you don't try something different, if Aaron Boone can't go to Aroldis Chapman and say, look, bro, it's been 8 days. That's my fault. I need you in the eighth inning. I may need you in the eighth inning today. You're telling me Aroldis Chapman's not taking the ball?
Well, I'm sure he would, but again... You don't do that to closers.
That was Joe Girardi, well, what are you going to say?
It's not that he used him in the ninth. That's not the mistake.
Joe Girardi would have pitched him. It wouldn't have been 8 days.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll defer to you on that.
I wouldn't have used him in the ninth.
Look,
I partially agree with you, though. I think for a closer, that's the exception. The closer has one box he needs to check every single night. Three outs, 20 pitches. It's your only job in life. That's it. Everybody else in that bullpen, Zach Britton, Dellin Betances, Holder, everybody can pitch in any inning. It doesn't matter.
That division's over. It's over.
Right, but the war's not over. War's not over. And I think this is where you and I differ.
Good Lord.
You and I differ on this. You think this season's over for them?
Not the season. The regular season now. You're
just playing to get in the postseason
right now. You're playing to go to Oakland to play a one-game playoff, which is a huge mistake. Because is there anybody who would look forward to that trip? You're fighting
You got to earn your way in, though. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
You knew this going in. You knew the Red Sox were going to be good.
But this is why I say you're screwed. You're only 2.5 up on the hottest team in baseball, the Oakland A's. If you don't have home field advantage in that wild card game, forget it.
Let's be honest. They're hot right now. How long are they going to stay hot?
Well, when you bolster your bullpen with Fiers and Sean Kelly, who you are exactly right, I thought that was a great pickup.
But I'm just saying.
Jake sends me a text message last night telling me that Sean Kelly signs with the A's. And I'm like, oh. And then like 10 minutes later, it's like, holy cow, Sean Kelly went to the A's. And then today they trade for Fiers from Detroit.
I get that they're trying. I'm just telling you right now, the A's are you want to talk about a team that's got to earn it? I'll take the Yankees over the A's.
God, they're 21 games over.
That's great.
67 and
none
46.
None of that matters when you get to a one-game wild card. None of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely none of it. And you know what?
Their starting pitching hasn't been great. But did you see the Yankees put Sonny Gray in the bullpen?
That's the right move.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the right move. You want to talk about the A's? Yeah. That's the right move.
And what's going on with Seattle, who's now 2.5? I mean, Seattle's falling. Good grief. I mean, this is crazy, man. This is absolutely crazy. And then there's the Cubs, who, you know.
All right, you got 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Where do I start? I don't even know what to say about the Padres series.
I thought it was great baseball, the Padres. I thought tactically they played really well. You want to talk about managing? I thought Andy Green outmanaged them.
I thought he did a good job with his bullpen. I thought he managed to matchups.
I thought the Jankowski steal of second base after Carl Edwards walked him was brilliant. Nobody was expecting that.
God, like, how do you walk him? The game's tied. Just give up a home run. Don't walk him. Give up a home run. Don't walk him.
Yeah.
I'd rather see you throw a fastball right down the cock and get 400 feet. Oh, well. He beat my best, so be it. I can live with that. You walk him, then he steals. Oh, please. It's stop it. Like, that's the stuff that just makes me.
I get it.
I'm not worried about John Lester. Okay, John Lester, it's August. This is when guys that are 1,000 years old are going to be tired. Okay, John Lester's 1,000 years old. He's tired. Okay? I still worry about Hendricks. Hamels tonight in Kansas City. He was awesome his first start. Now the adrenaline's worn off. What are we going to get from Cole Hamels? They're trailing 1-0 in a rain delay or whatever it is. But I just, this team is not going, I think there's a chance. I know it's crazy. I know for sure, I don't believe they're winning the Central. I think there's a chance that they're going to be in a dogfight to win the wild card, to have home field advantage for the wild card. It's terrifying to me. But you have who's the guy that you're counting on right now in that rotation? Quintana was awesome, then he's terrible. Lester's not been good right now. Hendricks is not good right now. Like, who's the guy I'm supposed to go to here?
Yeah.
As Cub fans, we're waiting for Yu Darvish to come back. And we're hoping that when he does come back, that his ulnar collateral ligament isn't hanging out of his, like, elbow pit. You know, like how you have an armpit and you have that elbow pit there? Like, Yu Darvish is going to be playing long toss and one day his ulnar collateral ligament's going to fly off and hit Jed in the press box or something. I mean, come on. Dude, like, this is, you're a game up on Milwaukee, right? They're better than you are right now. They're the Milwaukee Brewers in a crappy division in a year where the National League isn't exactly gangbusters, right? Like, look at the NL West. Are you telling me that Arizona, I have no faith that the Dodgers or Arizona are a World Series team. I don't think either one of them are, right? It's a mediocre National League. And you, yeah. By the way, we're talking about a Chicago Cub team that's got the best record in the National League right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no faith that they're going to win their division. And I'm not even sure that they're going to go to the playoffs because Milwaukee's only got a game and a half lead in the wild card. So,
I mean, it's going to come down to execution at the end of the day. Like, you know, they're either going to execute and play good baseball because that's all they need to do. They don't have to be that team, the World Series team, where they're just outright better than you. They just got to play good baseball.
How are you only a game up on Philadelphia?
Philly's been good. Philly's been impressive.
Well, Jake Arrieta, I think it's the right move to let him go. He's been wildly inconsistent, but damn, does that wildly inconsistent pitcher not fit right into the second spot in your rotation?
I mean, it fits into a mediocre rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, in which we are.
Yeah.
I'm the 26th man on the roster. That's why I can say we.
I don't think they're as bad as you make them out to be. I just don't think they're playing good baseball. That's my biggest thing.
Here's the other thing. Joe Maddon, and again, I'm not ripping Joe Maddon. I've done that on previous shows. I'm kind of tired of ripping Joe Maddon. Maybe you want to tell your guys not to make the third out at third base. When you're two runs down, not one. Javier Baez gets thrown out at third base the other day. You're down two runs, a-hole, and you're getting thrown out at third base to end the inning?
But the tough part is, and I totally agree, 100% with
you. How does it happen?
100% with you, but I think you live and die with Javi on that. There's a lot of times where you love that aggression, but in that specific situation,
is Javier Baez overrated?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think he's worth it.
I don't think he's an MVP candidate. Well, I shouldn't say that.
This year he is.
I don't think he should win the MVP. And I don't, if you ask me who it should be, I have no idea. It's not Paul Goldschmidt for once, America's first baseman. It's not Paul Goldschmidt. There's probably
Arenado's
not a Dodger.
Probably in a discussion.
It's probably Nolan Arenado because how on earth are they only two games out in the West?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That team has, you think the Cubs have pitching problems? Check out Colorado. I mean, that's a team that
plays in Colorado.
They're minus 10 run differential, and they're two games out. Like, if that's not winning an MVP, I don't know what is. Freddie Freeman's probably the leading MVP candidate because they're only a game and a half out in the East in Atlanta, which is totally stunning. You know, but Javier Baez is a great player. I am not going to sit here and say, oh, this guy has unbelievable baseball IQ. Because if he had great baseball IQ, I guarantee you when you're down two, you're not getting thrown out of third base.
I think it's easy to say that. I don't disagree with you, but I think it's easy to say that.
Does that not happen routinely?
What does routinely mean? All the time?
Once a week, he will make... I would say almost once a game, he'll make a bad decision and get away with it. Once a game. Right? Okay.
Well, if he's doing it once a game, then it's more than luck.
Okay, I can agree with that. If it's more than once a day, it's luck. Okay, I agree with you. But you can never... Like, I'm sure when I was 5 years old playing Little League Baseball, they were telling me don't make the last out at third base. That's as old as the day is long.
The last out.
Yeah, you can't do it. Especially when you're down two. Like, if you were down one, okay. Because Joe Maddon manages his guys... And gives them a very long leash. They all have green lights. You want to take the extra base, take the extra base. Right? Okay. And he always says, I'd rather rein them in than try to get them to be more aggressive.
For sure.
And I totally agree with that. But at some point, when you are sputtering along, splitting with teams, no offense, San Diego, Wales, Vagina, but when you're sputtering along and split with the Padres, you can't be getting thrown out at third to end an inning when you're down two, and I believe it was the seventh inning. Because their bullpen's actually solid in San Diego. You know, like, come on. Be better than that. That's all I'm saying. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I don't think, I would never tell Javi, you know, specifically Javi. Because of who he is, because of the way he plays the game, because of the fire he brings, that's the kind of guy he is. And if on a Joe Maddon team, you're never going to tell him not to try and take it. You're not. Like, it's just not how it's going to work. And I get your point. I don't disagree with you, but... You got to understand, like, who these guys are playing for, what kind of year they're having.
Totally.
He's trying to make a difference. And yeah, it backfired on him that time, but how many times are you celebrating him stealing home when nobody thought he should have been? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many other times to counteract
those. He is an unconventional player. That's the verbiage that Joe Maddon will use. He will tell you that he is unconventional in a very good way.
Yeah.
Speaking of the San Diego Padres, can my campaign for Austin Hedges to stay here for the rest of his natural-born life, please kick into high gear. Number one, Angel Hernandez is a terrible umpire.
Awful.
He rang up Anthony Rizzo on a pitch that was two balls outside, right? But what a frame by Austin Hedges.
Yep, sold it.
Great frame.
Yeah.
He had a great weekend in Chicago. And frankly, I don't know why... Padre fans are in such a hurry to get away from this guy. I caution you what I'm about to say. He's raised his average to 243.
Solid for him.
He's got eight bombs now. He's only, and I say only because remember that this is a guy who's only played 52 games. He's only got 169 plate appearances, right? So he's got eight home runs and 24 RBIs. I'm happy with that. Austin Hedges is more than doing the job. Throwing guys out at second base. I think doing a really good job of framing pitches. He's become, I don't know how he got better defensively, but he's a ball blocking machine. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah, I think it's easy to pick on catchers when they don't hit, right? Like, because that's supposed to be a power position on the infield. You know, catcher, first, third, right, left. Like, those are all power positions. And now all of a sudden shortstops become kind of a power position. But I don't know. I agree with you. I think Austin Hedges has well earned his spot, and I think he's going to be here a long time.
He's only a third-year guy. You know, he's young. You played against him in high school at Capo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's young.
He was awful in high school.
What do you mean?
As a hitter. Awful.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah. Terrible. Yeah. Not great. I mean, super aggressive. I mean, just way over aggressive.
You struck him out.
I did. Well, that's what I say. He's way over aggressive. I didn't throw 95.
Austin Hedges is one of those guys that Jake will always have a notch on his bedpost for.
Yeah.
He will always be that guy for you, won't he?
Yeah.
I actually really like what I've seen out of the Padres, especially in that Chicago series. They were terrible in July. Nobody doubts that. But I think you can start to see now, especially I really like the moves of releasing Tyson Ross, and they're doing the right things now. They tried to trade, and Ross is that perfect guy. Like Jordan Lyles, big deal. Tyson Ross is the perfect guy. We tried to trade him. We put a bunch of crap in a bag, and we tried to sell it for a whole bunch of money, and we couldn't. So we threw the bag out. And that's exactly what they should have done, because if you hang on to Tyson Ross and he's making starts, there's a younger guy down the pipe that should be getting those starts. And it's not just in AAA. It's a AA guy who should be in AAA and a single A guy who should be. It rolls downhill in minor league baseball. And I feel like the Padres are making the right moves. And Austin Hedges is a guy who should be back there. And I don't care. I don't want to see any more tape of Mejia catching, because that's all we're seeing now is, you know, Instagram and Twitter tape of, oh, look at Mejia with a great frame. You know, like that's all Padre Twitter is about right now. And I'm just telling you, slow down. Austin Hedges, this guy hasn't even sniffed his offensive potential yet. And he's a third-year catcher in the big leagues. And you have, what, half a dozen, 10 arms coming?
Yep.
I would just leave him right there. Okay. Now, can you play the other song that we're going to play today, please? Because it's one of the greatest theme songs on TV right now. Yeah. Succession on HBO. Season finale last night. First of all, we've been trying to find this song for I don't know how long.
It hasn't been released.
It hasn't been released yet.
No.
I just paid $1.29 for it.
Yeah. I found it today. I've looked every day.
Yeah. This is the theme song from Succession. This is that song where as soon as you hear the piano parts
Wait, no.
What are you going to do?
I just want to start it over.
Okay,
so
start it over. Go ahead. You want to start it over? I'm sorry, did you say because it's so lit?
Yeah.
Okay, so as soon as you hear this piano, this is where you become like Beethoven in your shower, and you're just air pianoing this. You know, like, it's amazing. It's and it has a Christmas feel to it with whatever those bells are in the background.
I feel like it's an ominous song. Like, I feel like it has a...
It has a certain part of dread about it, which is exactly right for Succession on HBO.
Perfect.
Because I actually grew to love Succession. I did not like the first two or three episodes. It started really slowly. And we were all... It became our Sunday night show because we hung in there. We stuck with it. We had gotten through Ozark on Netflix, Jason Bateman.
Damn it.
A absolute sex machine, Jason Bateman. I'm telling you, the guy's awesome. Got through that, and then we were looking for something, and here comes Succession. And I really fell in with this show. And the finale was very frustrating for me. Because Kendall Roy, who's one of the main characters on the show, I've rooted for this guy all... There's that piano again. I've rooted for this guy all season long. Absolutely all season long. And I want Kendall Roy to win. But his cocaine addiction that wound him in the bottom of a creek with a dead man next to him in a car, that was your fault, dude. Because you could not... You're not going to keep playing it?
Yeah, it just ended. Hold on.
Okay, no, I'm not going to... Thank you.
Yeah, okay, go on. Go ahead.
Anyway... Hit cocaine addiction for me. Addiction is something I don't struggle with, right?
Cocaine!
Like, yeah, I don't struggle with drug addiction, so it really frustrates me, stop it, when guys do. You're a jerk. It really frustrates me when guys struggle with addiction, right? And Kendall Roy is one of those characters you want to win, but you just know that every single time
he's a punching bag.
His dad gets a chance, he's going to stomp on his ball sack every single time. And tell me that that's not the perfect analogy after last night, because he did.
Yeah, again. I mean, I think your reaction immediately was like frustration, and I just felt like that. I mean, there was nothing Kendall was going to do. I mean, there's not. Like, he was in the moment, like, his dad was all over him. Like, there was nothing he was going to do. I think this show will really take off when the FU is displayed by Kendall. It'll be amazing because he almost did it this year.
He's the only guy in the chain. Like, how about last night, and I'm sorry, if you're a Succession fan, turn the podcast off right now because I'm giving it all away. Shiv gets married, right? So, okay, first of all, is Shiv hot?
No.
She's not?
No.
Why?
She lacks class.
What? How does she
big
lack
time.
Class?
She lacks class big time.
Really?
How are you doing Nate like that on the side? Come on.
Well, I don't personally have a problem with it.
Oh, I do.
It's just, okay, will you at least admit she drips sex appeal?
Well, of course like she does. You're having a lot of sex. Of course you do.
Okay, that's not the point. I didn't mean dripping like, anyway,
I know, I get
stop.
It. I get it.
This is a family show.
Yeah.
The point is, I think Sarah Snook, I think is her name, the actress that plays Shiv. I think Shiv's character is perfect. And if you look at the way she interacts with her husband, I just think it's hysterical that she dominates
the guy.
You
want to talk about a guy that's got a man up.
Oh, man. I
and then he did. I thought it was hilarious what he did to Nate with the wine bottle and everything. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, he went down. Okay, so here's what happens, all right? So Shiv tells her husband that, hey, look, you're done, dude. We just got married. We've been married an hour. They're up in their room in this castle in England where they had the wedding. And the husband says to the wife, Tom says to Shiv, hey, I want to have sex with you right now. Let's do it. And she's like, no, nope, no, everybody's down. Like, she clearly wants nothing to do with Tom because she wants to have sex with Nate again. She wants to have an open relationship. So she stops Tom from pouring his heart out to her because he's trying to tell her, I love you so much. And she's like, look, man, I don't believe in love and I want to have an open marriage. It's more exciting that way. She essentially gives him the friend zone and Variety's the spice of life. And he's like, oh, okay, great.
Against his will, he is.
Sure. But then he goes downstairs and finds his new wife's lover and lights him up. Makes him pour the wine back in the wine bottle and then kicks him out of their wedding reception. Like, I thought that was unbelievable. But Jeremy Strong as Kendall is a great character.
Dominant,
I think it is. Oh yeah, it is a. It's a good script. It's just frustrating to me. And Logan Roy, who's the head of the household in this family, and
I feel like his character is easy. It's not difficult. Like, all you have to do is spite your son the whole time and be, you know, essentially an a-hole the whole time.
What about Macaulay Culkin's brother as Roman Roy?
Pretty good.
Yeah, he blew up the rocket. The rocket launch failed. People lost thumbs in an arm, and he was happy about it because nobody died.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten into Succession, you really need to.
Just for the song. I mean, come on.
And the fact that Logan completely screws
his
son.
Talk about manipulating.
Oh, man.
Leveraging.
So Kendall is trying to do a hostile takeover of his family business, right? You don't have to play it again. It's fine. But he gets into a car accident because he's driving a guy to buy cocaine. He accidentally swerves the car to miss a deer, goes into a, like, it's Kennedy Chappaquiddick, kills a young guy.
You didn't see it. The young guy?
Swerves the wheel. Yeah. Kendall's not paying attention to the road.
Yeah.
The young guy sees the deer in the road, swerves it, drives them into a river, and the young kid dies. The problem is Kendall then gets out of the car, walks up the bank, walks back to the castle where the wedding's going on. He thinks he's gotten away with it scot-free. Only problem is his room key was on the bank, the riverbank. And so his dad sits him down and says, okay, look, the cops are outside.
With Logan Roy's wife
and their head of security. Look, there's two ways this is going to go. We're either going to tell them that this young kid broke into your room, took your key card, broke into your room, and stole from you, or you're going to jail for murder. And by the way, I want my guy desperately. I want Kendall to stand up and say, screw you, old man. I didn't do anything wrong. Instead, he sits on the couch and breaks down crying. Logan clears the room and says to him, and by the way, you're going to call your people and tell them this hostile takeover's off. You're out. And he just crushes his soul.
Yeah.
Damn it! I wanted Kendall to win that so badly.
Logan is the Reaper, man.
I agree. Why don't we end the show, speaking of dripping with sex, why don't we end the show talking about reusing condoms? Because I don't understand this story. This is a true story. I'm not making this up, right? Like, you can say I tend to find the salacious stories in life. This is a true story. People are rinsing out and reusing condoms.
Huh.
Now, I could be wrong, Jake. I believe millennials are the ones driving this trend in American...
I'm not.
In American STD transmission. It's millennials. Do you remember that back in like the late 2000s, like 2018? When I don't know why I'm talking like a Texan. But all those millennials got those STDs. I guarantee you it's the millennials doing this. Because you guys are so cheap. You're so cheap.
Wonder why that is.
Why is that?
Well, because...
Well, we're not paying you very much. My generation is not paying your generation very much. We're enabling you to do all this great stuff, but we're not giving you any money to do it. That's part of it in corporate America. Anyway, point is, I would never do this, ever. It just is... It's
gross.
Like, I want to...
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I would do. Okay? And I can't think of one terrible thing I would do, but this is not one that I would do. Especially... Like, can't you get free condoms? I'm married. I've been married 20 years.
I think you can. I don't know.
You know, I'm dare I say Planned Parenthood, but there's got to be places that still hand out free condoms, right?
Man, I have no idea.
Like, 10 years ago, that was a huge fight. Like, they wanted to outlaw free condoms and stuff, but I just would never rinse out and reuse.
Yeah, that's gross.
That's all. It's not a toothbrush, man. It's a condom.
Yeah.
You cannot do that.
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'll pass.
And by the way, On our boys' weekend this past weekend, what did we do?
Played a lot of hoops and Fortnited.
Hung out in Phoenix, bought some new basketball shoes, which gave me a huge blister. Harden Volume 2, like it or hate it.
Love it.
I liked it a lot, okay? Harden Volume 2, I liked it a lot. Great cushion, great support. I think I'll play in it on a regular basis.
Only thing is you have to wipe the sole a lot, in my opinion.
Well, I don't ever get off the floor, frankly, so I don't slip and slide. It's just, you know, the weight to slip ratio is in my favor. Anyway, the point is, I didn't have that problem. You, Mr. Ball Handler, sure, knock yourself out. It gave me a huge blister. Here's what I didn't like about the shoe. I felt like my heel constantly slipped up in the Harden Volume 2.
Yep.
And it's because the whole heel cup is a sock liner.
And the rocker in the shoe puts you on the ball of your foot.
Correct. And so my heel kept popping out of the back of it.
And well, if you just imagine your foot, it's pushing you, so it's raising your heel,
correct,
putting you onto the ball of your foot.
It's very reminiscent of the KD5.
Yep.
But the KD5 was a high top and didn't lift your heel up.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. And so other than that, I really liked the shoe. I never noticed my heel slipping while I played, but when the game would be over and we'd be in between games, I had uncomfortableness on my heel from the sock liner, which turned out to be a huge blister the size of about, a quarter, a nickel, whatever it is. But other than that, the cushioning in that shoe is superior. Superior. Tomorrow, I'm getting the LeBron 16 Low in black. So I should have a pretty good idea about that this coming weekend. So we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. But having said that, we played a lot of Fortnite. There's an update because the birthday season's over. Did you enjoy the birthday season?
Yeah, it was fun. It was good. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see what they do with the party bus.
That'll be fun. I hate the updates.
By the way, the biggest loss of the game is?
Huh.
Not the birthday season's over. It's the song on the party bus.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, man. We had so much fun making up our own words to that song. Anyway, point is, I got much better at killing thanks to the birthday season because the challenges... Like having to dance at all the cakes and collect the lightning bolts and whatnot, landing in the dustbin or what bowl or whatever they called it.
Divot.
But yeah, dusty divot where the crater was with all the trees. Much better at killing. Love my handgun kills now. Got that challenge done.
Yeah.
So
good time.
Fortnite birthday season, I think, came to an end last night.
Okay.
So there should be an update today. Anyway, that's it. Play the song so we can leave. Make sure you find us on Twitter. The Monty Show. MONTY. The Monty Show. Yeah, there's that song. Love this song, too. Thanks again for listening to the show. Anywhere you get your podcast, which you already know that because this is a podcast and you're listening to it, where you get your podcast, just search The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.